everyone. It's the Who Goes There podcast. We're here bringing to you episode 4. We've got a full house today. Check it out. Yeah. We've got dogs and extra people, and my goodness gracious. Yeah. Well, you guys just got back from a trip. Is that not right?
Yeah. Me and Alia just got back from San Francisco for 4 days.
That's the best story you've ever told in your fucking life. Yeah. Jesus Christ. My goodness.
Oh, yeah. I'm exhausted.
You're a fucking content generator, dude.
Our flight was delayed, and, you know, we've drank nonstop for 4 days, and we're just drinking more now. And
well, you know, it happens.
I'm fucking 15 pounds heavier than when I went up there. And yeah, so now we're back.
Good, we're back. So also to my right, we've got special guest for 2 weeks in a row. Holy shit.
Got him so drunk he didn't want to leave.
Hi, guys.
Introduce yourself again, Danny.
I'm Danny.
I like it.
Oh, my God. Better and better every week.
Dude, we are.
We're professionals.
We're amazing. So real quick. So the last week, nothing really happened as far as news goes. I officially finished Last of Us.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
You're close. I know you were ahead of me for a good bit, and then this last 4 days? Literally.
That you've been sitting home watching my dog, and I've been out getting drunk?
I did both at some time, you know, played a little bit of video games.
But yeah, I'll be done soon. It's fantastic so far.
Yeah, no, the ending, I don't want to say that it's...
You're going to spoil it for
me? No. I don't want to say that it's a mind blower, but I think you'll be happy with it. And it's fucking hard, dude. It's not an easy game.
What difficulty are you playing
on? I did it on normal.
I'm playing on hard, and I'm like almost done with it.
No, I'm playing on hard. I'm so much better than you at video games.
I am. Skilled professional.
What do you think, Danny? Video games, yay or nay?
I just started playing games.
Yeah?
Haley just made me play Halo.
Haley's tight. That's
maybe
why.
4 or 5 months ago, and I really, really liked it.
Halo. Okay. And what have you moved on to now?
What's that zombie game that I liked a lot?
You liked
Left 4 Dead.
Left 4 Dead.
Oh, nice.
Hey, shit.
It's appropriate.
Because I'm getting into it. I'm still not good at any of them, but definitely getting into it.
I never played
games growing up.
We'll do a... Why? How could you not be into games?
I don't
games?
Know. I just never played games.
You totally moved on to Temple Run. What are you talking about?
Maybe that's why you play many musical instruments and Jorge and I wore glasses.
I played a musical instrument. He plays many.
Skin flute doesn't count.
Yeah, you're right.
Although, while we were in San Francisco, I did see a penis ocarina. And I wanted it so bad. No, I didn't play it because it was in a glass case.
You wish you had that.
But it was so fucking awesome. It was like $80, and I was like, I really can't justify
we're gonna
spending
make this gag
$80 to put a dick to my mouth. You know, like I feel like I should at least be getting paid for it.
Like I would buy it if it was like $20, but
$80. Maybe I might be able to be talked into $50.
How big was it?
It was about
six inches.
That's the
like,
real
like a
that's,
like a
that's
torta.
The value.
Like, oh, length like yeah, five six inches.
Oh,
but
so
it was thick.
Average.
It was girthy.
So you could find it at a bar.
About average.
Yeah, you could find it at a bar. It might not be as hard, or it's probably harder than you would find at a bar. But
that's true.
All right. Well,
by
so,
the way,
well,
that,
you're gonna
no,
derail
no,
me. Go
no,
ahead. No.
By the way,
I was
we got
gonna
a
say
really horrible text message from Jorge while we were in about our dog being a hater against. Either the homeless,
well,
homeless
so it's,
midgets specifically.
So, we took Monk to go get ice cream yesterday, and
Monk is our dog.
Monk is yeah, not your midget. we took Monk to go get ice cream yesterday, and we order our ice cream. We go outside to eat, and we're sitting there having a good time. And from like a block and a half away, Monk starts giving. Somebody a look, and I'm just like, oh, whatever, no big deal. And I kind of look down the street, and it's obviously a little person to be PC, and she's already kind of tripping out about it. So he gets closer slowly because he's got like a walker, so it's taking.
Wait. So it's a homeless little person with a walker.
Well, we didn't know that yet.
No,
we didn't
but
know
you didn't tell me there was a walker involved.
Well, right. That's why I wanted to wait to see you before I was telling you the story in text.
There's tennis balls on the
bottom.
That
was bullshit.
That would explain
a lot. The best part was this, that he didn't actually use the walker as a walker. He would hold it, lift it up, and like walk like 20 paces, drop it, take a rest, and then do that over and over again until he finally got close to us. By the time he gets like within 5 to 10 feet of us, Monk is literally underneath our legs, like trying to get as far away from him as possible. So
you might have thought he was a Terminator or something.
And the crazy part is the moment he gets close to us, like I'm like, oh shit, he's homeless. Like he's full on like shitty pants, pissy pants, homeless. Like I'm like, oh fuck. And he kinda shuffles up to us and he goes, Is that dog friendly? And I'm like, oh shit. How do I answer this without I go, well, yeah, I think she's friendly, but she's kind of skittish with new people, so you know, I don't know how she'd act around you.
Yeah.
And
sure.
he goes, So is she friendly? And Ronnie goes, no, she's not friendly. She doesn't really like new people. And he scoots forward like 4 or 5 feet towards us. And Monk is like trying to melt into the wall as much as she can. It was the craziest thing because I was like this close to just be like, get the fuck away from us, you fucker. Oh my God, dude. So your text that I sent you was,
yeah,
you know,
your dog either hates homeless people, little people, or homeless
or
little
both.
People.
I thought both
you know,
was probably inappropriate.
At least she's
remark.
Not racist.
And
she hates white dogs.
So we're not going to talk about a specific movie today. We're going to talk about remakes in general, which is a real hot button with not only, I guess, horror flick fans, but just movies in general because there's, you know, a plethora.
Why ruin a good thing?
Okay, so here's what we'll get into. When you say ruin a good thing, what exactly are you talking about? Are you talking about remakes, just a blanket statement?
In a sense, there's different kinds of remakes, and I'll you know, we can touch on those a bit later. But for the most part, they're just trying to take a movie that was successful before and put a new spin on it. And most of the time, it's not, I really want to put my creative twist on this. And there are a few exceptions. And you can feel free to jump in.
No,
anytime.
I'm letting you spitball.
Look like Danny had something to say.
I know what I was going to say is that it definitely goes both ways because two perfect examples. I know that you know we're not going to talk about specific movies in
we
detail.
Definitely, we can,
definitely
yeah.
can.
But
yeah,
two
yeah.
examples. The first two that come to mind are A, and I know a lot of people are going to disagree, but Hills Have Eyes, for example, I thought the remake was way better.
It was
I
awesome.
Agree.
I thought it was amazing. He took something that was a great concept but didn't have the vision that people have, you know.
And it was still very rapey.
Perfected
let's not,
now.
Let's not,
oh, yeah,
you know,
definitely.
Still quite rapey, which is...
And that worked out. That was someone that made it work. But then you have the other example of Let the Right One In.
Right.
That, few months, a year later, just right away, they're like, well, let's take this and show it to a mass market that is never going to find the original on their own.
Okay, right. So are you in the camp of feeling that Let the Right One In, or rather,
I can't
let
believe
me in,
they
was it called
Let Me
what,
In?
The,
yeah.
the American
the,
version.
I can't believe
let
they
in.
Did it.
So,
and
but
I,
okay, you can't believe they did it. But as a film, if you were just to say, okay, this is what I'm watching, what would you have said?
I didn't even watch the remake. Did
were you
watch
that,
the remake?
Were you that upset that you didn't watch it?
I watched like 20 minutes of it.
Okay.
Wait,
so
wait, what was
watched,
that?
You watched 20 minutes of it.
I watched like 20
okay,
minutes
okay.
of it. So I haven't seen it.
Okay.
And I'm not going to.
Okay,
we were fortunate enough to see the original in theaters. A friend of ours worked at a theater, and she told us, you know, there's this really great movie coming out. You guys would love it. And we went to go see it. And it was great. And I think
yeah.
a part of the reason it didn't do well as it should have was because it has subtitles. And people want to go to the theater to be entertained, and a lot of people don't want to go read. And I mean, I may just be speaking in broad terms here, but I feel like that's a big problem with
yeah.
a lot of movies. People don't want
to
read subtitles.
Well, to be perfectly honest, I'd rather watch a subtitled movie than a dubbed movie because fuck dubbing. If you
yeah.
watched the last,
right.
if you listened
yeah,
to the last
absolutely.
Episode that we
yeah.
were talking about dubbing,
but I didn't eat a ton of shrooms, so.
Huh?
I was like, okay, it makes sense. Yes. That's why he was so mad.
Yeah, I'm gonna play another song, man.
I'm gonna play like 50 songs. Is that cool? Do what you want.
Wait, you're on shrooms? Is that what you said?
I'm joking. I was joking.
Kidding.
That'd be way cool.
I didn't hear the first part.
There's the first twist.
So, I want to. I'd like to say. I mean, honestly, I think given the atmosphere that cinema is at right now, where, like you guys are saying, like it's a successful movie overseas. 3 months later, we have a remake.
Right.
I don't so much mind remakes in general.
There's a time and a place for them.
Bad remakes, which I guess I dislike bad movies in, you know, overall. But I don't have a knee jerk reaction with remakes.
I'm having kind of that kind of reaction to the oversaturation in the market of remakes.
Yeah,
everything's a fucking remake.
I would say that as we get further into time, as it may be. You know, we're gonna see remakes whether we like it or not, and we either have to get on board and be kind of like, okay, this remake's all right, this remake sucks balls, pick and choose what you want, because I've seen some remakes that I dug, and I'm sure you guys have too.
Right, and there's a time and a place for remakes, as I said, and sometimes you just take a shitty movie and you make it a lot better. But when was that the case? I can't even think of a movie that did that. Anybody?
I mean, one of the biggest problems that I do have with remakes nowadays is that, like a lot of the other movies, they're literally just trying to pump these things out. So there's no passion in them. There's no actual, you know, they're taking the formula that they have, plugging this crap in, and in 2 months with CGI and horrible CGI at
right.
that, they just, here you go. Before, you know, these older horror movies that they're remaking, back in the day, they're like, well, how the hell are we going to make this happen? Let's build a whole goddamn monster.
Right. I was
make
actually
it walk.
I was talking about that when I watched The Thing the other day.
And
I
now
said,
they're
they
like,
made
God.
That. They,
yeah, exactly.
And actually, that's a remake that was better than the original.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, no, I don't mean,
well, right,
I don't
mean
the
Kurt Russell.
I don't mean
Kurt
Russell
from
82 or 84 was a remake.
Which honestly, I enjoyed the newest iteration of
I haven't
the
watched
thing.
It.
Because it's not a remake.
It wasn't bad,
it's a prequel.
I was kind of on the fence about it.
I don't feel that it, in the spirit of it, it's not a remake. I think it was actually considered a prequel. And
it was.
And for what it was, which, to be perfectly honest, dude, we're fucking talking about movies that aren't, like, really heady. We're not talking about... We're talking about fucking...
It gets to the point.
Yeah.
Like, it's there's not a super complex storyline.
That's what I dig about horror movies, is that we don't always have to be like, well, what was the subgenre plot of the fucking... Mystifying,
no, definitely not.
Metaphors.
I just, I want to see
like
a monster, not a goddamn computer graphic.
Right. You can always tell.
Yeah,
the blood splatter is always just.
I think
which
that's one of the main reasons why
there.
Both of us enjoyed the new Evil Dead so much.
Okay, here we go. Let's. We're gonna get to that eventually. Good product placement there. I like it. So Evil Dead is a spiritual remake, right? Because they're basically rebooting the universe.
Well,
from what I understand,
weren't Campbell and Raimi involved?
Yeah, they were all involved.
It was the exact same crew that did the first
with,
one.
You know, a couple
and
differences
just,
and all that.
Yeah, with a few differences, and now they just remade it again this time.
Which, from what I understand, the CGI, the amount of CGI was very small in that movie.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. No,
they really
lot
cranked
of
it down.
Fake blood.
And the
like actual.
The practical effects were, you know, were pretty crazy in that movie. Like, I enjoyed it. I don't know, man. To this day, I think that tongue cutting part was one of the cringier parts I've seen in a movie.
It was,
in
but
a
that's
long
that's
time.
Kind of.
See, I've gone through that, so for me, it's like.
Were you split? Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit!
Shit.
So holy. For me, I was like, I remember that.
So, Danny has his tongue split. News to everyone.
Oh,
wow, that was.
You guys look
that
like you
was
just
so good.
That was like the perfect time
that could,
for that,
that
to
could,
happen.
That couldn't have been better.
Holy
time.
Shit. So, yeah, that was nuts.
So, for you, that was like, oh, that, yeah, I remember that.
I remember
that.
That
felt like, yeah.
What was even worse than that was when she was in the bathroom sawing.
That's what I thought. I thought that was good. I got excited about that. I was like, oh, God, this is...
When Homeboy walks into the...
I was sitting there like, yes, please, your face, do it.
When he walks into the bathroom and you hear her sawing at her face, with a piece of mirror, and it sounds like she's sawing through guts. Like it's not. There's no bullshit there. It was pretty gnarly, dude.
See, that's kind of like my little issue with The Evil Dead, though. I mean, I liked the film, but I kind of felt like maybe it should have been called something other than The Evil Dead, because I feel the first Evil Dead was a little more tongue-in-cheek. It took itself
way campier.
And this
sure.
one, even on the posters, it said it set out to be the most terrifying movie you've ever seen.
Which that in itself may have been a little tongue-in-cheek. Because
you think?
I don't think it was.
I feel
a
like they really went to those extremes to do that.
You know what, though? I'm going to go ahead and say that to quote unquote normal person, to a person that doesn't.
A normie.
Yeah. Like a person that doesn't dedicate themselves to watching the worst movies ever. You know, the person who goes see Mission Impossible, Evil, that was
that
pretty
person.
Gnarly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty gnarly.
Aside
for
from the Saw movies, I can't think of like many people that watch people cut the tongues out of their mouths and saw their
well,
faces.
Well, and here's the thing. I for my personal taste, I'm not a huge fan of torture porn movies.
Yeah.
And I think
they were
that,
cool as fuck when they first came out, but then it was.
Yeah,
just, I feel like maybe it just got oversaturated.
I think that Evil
really
Dead.
Like
I think Evil Dead did a good job of towing that line between okay, we're gonna show you a lot of gore and a lot of fucked up shit, but not making you like not torturing you with like oh my god, I'm gonna show you somebody sawing through their cheek
yeah.
with a
yeah.
piece of glass, which was nice. Like I thought it was gory enough to freak anybody out, but yet. Still wasn't like, I don't want to watch this ever again.
Right.
Yeah. Because I, you know, when it comes out on Blu-ray, I'm definitely going to buy it and throw it in my Blu-ray player. And
I feel like,
yeah,
I
think
like
it's out already.
Closely, very closely.
I feel like the movie, that part was when it hit the scary part. That's when it got really...
The cheek sawing yeah. part? Yeah, that
it was...
It
was more like creepy and like just creepy the rest of the time. Mystery.
That's something that I do appreciate from remakes that... maybe is a reason why I liked Evil Dead so much is because they took what was used it but then shifted it 90 degrees
yeah
you know and they gave it they're like alright well last time we fucked around and we joked around a lot and we did some funny scenes this time let's just hit them
yeah you think so, it's kind of just easing them into it and
who knows
just giving him the tip first.
just the tip.
So the general feeling, I guess, at the table is that remakes of movies that did good internationally and are remade into Americanized versions aren't necessarily our cup of tea, basically.
Well,
right?
Not so
take,
much.
Take,
I like The Ring.
Well,
take The Ring, for example.
Well, but
did
I liked
you
it.
Like the
I liked
remake?
It, yeah, unfortunately.
The Ring, the one... You watched
you
the
watch,
watch
you
Ringu
didn't watch Ringu
before watching Ringu.
Ringu.
I saw Ringu first.
Okay,
but, fuck but, you. Sorry, I'm a horror movie hipster. I was there first.
That's exactly what you.
Fuck
are,
you. That's right? My point.
I like their old stuff.
I like their old stuff. Fuck.
I
hate
liked,
you all.
I liked them when they used real blood. Sorry.
Yeah. No, wait. No, I do like.
I missed the call
of
Sam.
So we're kind of out of lull. Are we talking? Just remakes, or are we talking remakes and sequels?
No,
remakes.
I think just remakes.
Yeah,
because sequels, sometimes
reboots.
They're planned, you know, and reboots, exactly. Is that, do you
yeah.
really feel like a reboot has anything different than a remake?
Yeah, right? Does that
What's
even...
the, yeah, the difference between a remake and a reboot is what, a remake is a literal shot for
it's,
shot?
It's
no. A remake is the story, and then...
A reboot
is even
reinterpretation.
Yeah, a reinterpretation. Like Halloween, that was Rob Zombie's reboot, which
let's not
pissed me off.
Let's not talk about that for
we
a second.
We could talk about it.
I could do three hours of me ranting about how much I fucking hate that movie.
Yeah, how about the gem that was Lords of Salem?
I haven't seen that.
We didn't
that.
See it.
It was
okay, so
horrible.
That was going to be our first podcast.
We were going to use that as episode one,
horrible.
But the timing didn't work out. So
and then I actually listened to a podcast about that movie so I could get a frame of reference, and I didn't want to see it after listening to that podcast.
Here, I was so turned off. So Well, we'll have you chat about it a little bit.
You know,
wait, but
Rob
is that a remake about anything?
No, it's not a remake. Okay. We've got a. I mean,
yeah,
you
know, fuck, we got time.
We've got so much time on our hands. We don't even know what to do with it.
You know that Rob Zombie loves paying homage to things and loves using snippets of everything.
He
loves cut and paste.
Right,
exactly.
All day.
Yeah.
So
the guy can shoot
it
scenes,
like
which is a
it was fucking beautiful. Like the movie was beautifully shot. It was
nice.
Amazing, but his homage to that style of horror, that genre of horror that he was going for, that slow paced terror. You know what I mean?
But it's
failure,
like,
absolute failure.
I honestly don't think I can say that I've liked any of his movies. House of a Thousand Corpses.
I like Devil's Rejects.
I did too.
Devil's Rejects, I loved.
I liked.
I thought it was just really fucked up.
Yeah,
and that's what I want from Rob Zombie. That's what I expect from Rob Zombie.
And in fact, we were gonna name our podcast from.
Were we?
Yeah, remember from the beginning, his little.
Right. We were looking up Sid Haig's shop at the side of the road.
What was it
and
called?
We were going to Captain Jack's.
Or
whatever.
Some shit.
We pay real good attention when it comes to movies.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say that.
This could easily turn into a how much we hate Rob Zombie episode.
I don't know. It's the second twist. Rob's. Yeah, that's the second one.
I did actually like House.
It was good.
Because it was one of the first,
it did
I guess,
have some
like
incredibly
major,
disturbing scenes.
Yeah, it was a major motion picture that was bringing in a lot of elements of that fucking...
I'm probably way off base here, but I honestly think that it sort of kind of kicked off sort of a new generation of, like, not necessarily horror movies, because there's gazillions of movies out there that came out, but I think that's exactly what I'm thinking, that like for mainstream movie fans that was kind of a good kickstart, and we're talking House of a Thousand Corpses, not any remake or anything.
House of a Thousand Corpses with just the tip.
Yeah, just the tip.
And then he jammed it in.
And he really did. I mean, that son of a bitch. I wish.
Except
somebody...
Sherry Moon Zombie. She cannot act.
No, she's the
he
worst.
He needs to stop putting her in.
I wish you
the...
could see her in this movie.
Well, she's the
fucking
worst. She was
fucking
mostly
worst.
Herself in my last one, just for the visuals.
Yeah.
I think she played a heroin addict.
Oh, big stretch.
No, hold on. A recovering heroin addict.
Now that's the third twist.
Recovering and relapsing.
I just... What the fuck? Like, what kind of a hand job does he get from his wife that... He fucking presents her in every fucking movie.
He gets to
movie.
Put a bunch of naked chicks in his movies, and she's okay with it.
But I don't know, dude. Like, he just needs, he needs a writer to be like, hey, you reel it in, bro. Reel it the fuck in.
Yeah.
You just film it, make it real pretty, and I'll write the fucker. That's what he needs. And that's the problem with those, with the Halloween movies, is they all look... Visually, they were very, very stunning and you know, remarkable, I guess.
I still hated Halloween.
But they were fucking garbage.
Halloween.
They were garbage
Halloween's
movies.
One of my favorite movies, though. I mean, I have Halloween tattoos. Like, half the shit in my house was Halloween for the longest time. And
a portrait of us with Michael Myers in the window.
That's a good one.
So we have a painted portrait of us, like American Gothic, and Michael Myers is in the window of the house behind us.
Have not seen
because
that.
We have money, but because we know an artist.
Yeah, a talented artist.
Commissioned
artist.
Art piece.
No, it's a friend of ours. But yeah, so seeing that Halloween was just a gut punch.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Part of the original allure of the Halloween was that Laurie Strode was this innocent girl next door babysitter, and she was being haunted by this...
Terrorized.
Yeah, terrorized. By this fucking shape, the shape, you know, William Shatner in the dark. And hey.
For anybody who doesn't know, the mask in the Halloween movies was actually modeled off of a William
Shatner.
No,
it was a painted William Shatner
painted
mask.
Painted William Shatner.
They went
Shatner
down
mask.
To the
yeah.
corner store and bought a William Shatner mask and painted it white.
Painted
That's
it white.
Why it's so terrifying.
Which is funny because when you're watching the subsequent movies, the mask sort of changes
it
from,
does all
from
the
movie
time.
To movie, and it gets slimmer.
And Rob
and
Zombie's mask
fatter.
Was cool.
Yeah,
I dug the mask.
It was alright.
But
okay
Laurie Strode, you know, was it's the most hellish nightmare in that time, a sweet, innocent 16-year-old girl in middle America being just, as Danny said, terrorized by a serial killer. And in the new one, they made her into this foul-mouthed, little slutty drug addict or...
Gotta make it popular with the American.
I'm gonna segue real quick
from
something just before it slips my mind. Another example of a movie like Halloween that has just been reproduced to its death that I cannot wrap my head around why anyone would even touch it.
Here we go.
Texas Chainsaw.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They've had.
How many?
Three sequels and then like three remakes and then like three reboots and.
Yeah.
The one with Jessica Biel from like 2000 was actually kind of cool. I dug that one a little bit just because the original, I love that they didn't show any blood through the whole movie.
That's one of the phenomenal feats of that movie.
But then
you know?
I feel kind of like the new one was like a behind the scenes where you actually saw the blood and you saw the fucked up shit that happened.
They had his... Like his bedroom in that movie, right? Where they showed like the lamp shades made out of skin and all that. Or am I mistaken?
Yeah, in the Jessica Biel one?
Yeah, the Jessica Biel one where they like he had the like the tissue covers made of human skin.
Yeah. Yeah, that was like the Ed Gein thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean that's
which by the way, I watched that Gein on Netflix.
Oh,
that movie's tight.
No, it's not.
That movie's so cool.
All of those serial killer single name movies are so bad.
As soon as I watched
the Gacy
one
is the
Gacy.
As soon as I watched one, it was like all of them were right there.
Yeah.
So you brought it up. What I mean,
that's one of the examples of how I feel like that could have gone very well. You know, the original Texas is such a clean horror film, but it's still brutal. Then they took it and tried to make it extreme with this, you know, the modern use of the technologies we have. And they still failed to make it as horrifying as the original. And then they remade it again this last time. And it was the worst thing. It was just lacking in every sense.
Now, you know, there's on the other side of that card, there's another movie that's had remake upon remake, and some of them have just been, or not remake, but sequel upon sequel, and some have been absolutely laughable. And you still, they get the reboot, is Friday the 13th. And I thought, you didn't see did you see the reboot?
I saw the remake.
I liked the reboot. Did you?
I did too.
They killed, or Jason killed an entire...
All the college kids in the house,
before
right?
They even showed the fucking title of the movie.
Oh, you're right, right.
How
I
did
see,
you not... I was
I
like, he just slayed seven people in the first 6 minutes of this movie.
Well, I was watching that, I was like, what do they do now?
Exactly.
Keep it going, I guess.
And I mean... This I don't even remember what the story was, but there was some...
I just remember a shed.
The sign of a brilliant film.
But do you really watch a Friday the 13th movie for the captivating storyline?
I learned a lot from this one.
No.
I learned how to beat somebody against
like
a tree with a sleeping
earlier,
bag.
I don't think that we necessarily watch horror movies for the subplots and the fucking metaphors.
No,
but
they are appreciated, though.
There are some times when you're watching one and you're just like, oh, dude, what?
Like Funny Games.
Funny Games.
Funny Games was
a great plot, great story.
It was English originally?
English.
Yeah.
English. It was an English film about two kids terrorizing this family that...
Code word. Yeah, Happy 4th of July,
code word
everyone.
America on 4th of July weekend. It's these two really clean-cut white kids, blonde kids, dressed super preppy.
Golf clothes.
Yeah, in golf clothes, who stop by, act super polite to this family who's staying at a house in the country, and they insist themselves upon the family, and then shit just gets crazy.
Great home invasion film.
It's nuts. And then, I think a year later, the director of the original film made a scene-for-scene remake for an American audience. And I mean, they used the same songs, they used the same script, everything, mm-hmm. but it was just shot with American actors in and released for an American audience.
I don't believe I ever saw it. That was Sandra Bullock?
No.
Wasn't that film?
No, that was the girl from The Ring, Naomi Watts.
Naomi Watts.
Is that her name? And Tim Roth. And
what the fuck film am I? Oh, anyway, doesn't
what
matter.
Yeah, but that movie is seriously fucking
Miss Congeniality.
Oh, yeah. Well, that is truly a horror film.
Horrible.
Horrific. Did you guys dig the remake?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Loved it.
Funny games, great.
Because it was exactly the same, but it
did
was
did you
American
think it was better?
No, because...
The original's in English.
Well, it's the accents, I think, for me. Like, I think that gives it an air of mysteriousness as well. Just because it's foreign, it's not what you're used to. So that makes it a little more unsettling.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, but it was fantastic. Everything. And the one thing that was really better in the original, or not the original, the remake, was Tim Roth bleeds like a stuffed pig better than anybody else.
Yeah.
Anybody
that's
seen Reservoir Dog? Yeah.
Why and do I feel like I've heard you say that again?
Say the fucking
word! Because I have said that.
Say the word!
I feel like you've said the
he does.
Thing. He bled, I think, best.
He looks like he's suffering.
I think he bled best in Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
fucking.
Dude, but you haven't seen... You haven't seen Funny
You
Games.
Know, I haven't you've seen it. And from what I've heard, they do a lot of the fourth wall interaction in that film.
They do, don't they? The assailants kind of just look into the camera and just like nod or
there's
something.
No like speaking to the camera though. There's no
you know, and what's interesting is I've
they
heard
do
that
the fourth
that
wall
it,
in a subtle
the,
way.
It's a little Zach Morris eye roll.
That's a great way to put it.
I was under the impression that it was a lot more
for all of you
that.
People who weren't born 30 years ago. Zach Morris.
Another horrible.
Google it.
I recommend watching both of them to anyone who hasn't seen either of them.
Yeah,
to watch
I've got
to
check them out.
And you can really watch either one.
They're
first.
Both enjoyable.
Okay, so I'm going to derail just a touch, and I'm going to confess something here. I watch World War Z.
Oh, really?
Let's hear.
We touched on this last week
a
little bit,
okay.
and I don't think it's necessarily appropriate in this remake podcast. But I think that given the spirit,
it's a
remake of a book. I felt like we could chat about it a little.
It's
bit.
It's a bastardization of a shitty book.
Here's the thing, man.
Bring it.
The author of said book has been quoted as in interviews. They're asking him, so what do you think about fast zombies versus slow zombies? And he goes, well, I think slow zombies are a good metaphor for human suffering, and it allows us to know to really blah 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 blah. And then he goes, and fast zombies are fucking gay. And I was like, oh shit.
Oh.
So I went into the film sort of.
It is kind of terrifying though, like Left 4 Dead, dude. Really, how fun would that game be if those zombies were
and
slow?
See, here's the thing that I feel about zombie movies or zombies in general. I think that when we're talking slow versus fast, I think when we're talking slow zombies, they're all most of the time possessed for the most part. It's spiritual. It's something that I mean, by and large. But when we're talking,
I think more like black magic.
That's what I mean. Not necessarily spiritual, but you know, something magical almost. But when you're talking fast zombies, it's always the fear virus or the rage virus. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're never kind of undead.
They're
are
not
they?
Undead, and so why I think and I'm sorry, why I think that World War Z was not necessarily a good film, but it was better than I think.
So you think it was good?
I don't think it was. I don't think it was great. I don't think it was good. I think it was for if you say World War Z is not connected to the book in any scope. Then
so if it was called something else?
If it was called Brad Pitt Zombie Killer 101, I think more people would have...
By the way, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer. You saw it? How fucking rad was that movie?
Yes.
See, Jorge
I watched
didn't believe
it alone
me.
Because no
on Netflix,
one would go with
way,
me.
So, yeah.
No one would go
like
with me.
Movie.
That movie looked stupid as fuck, but like,
of course, but I just don't want to give it the time of day,
how,
man.
How would they release something that dumb without it being amazing?
But they release dumb, non-amazing shit all the time. But that movie was like so awesome.
That horse fight scene. I'm sorry, but just come on.
I like the part where he was being like got caught by that guy, and he like in one motion took the knife. Slashed his throat and then cut himself free from his feet.
Like, it was just so over the top action that it was badass.
Oh, you want blood and explosions? Go watch that.
Yeah. it's what you would expect to see from The Expendables, basically.
I guess
with Abraham Lincoln. And they actually do a good job of telling the story of Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, no, they kept it historically accurate.
They do. They just did vampires.
Just vampires. Just
fucking vampires. Yeah, whatever.
Well, they show the basement of the story.
Yeah.
It's a fun movie to watch.
Well, okay, and with you saying that, I think that if you're not gonna get too hard-headed about World War Z and just take it as a summer action flick, which a lot of, you know, horror fans won't go check out, I think it's an okay film, and I wouldn't necessarily watch it in the theaters. I would check it out on, you know,
Pirate Bay.
I'm gonna bring something up with the Slow and Fast Zombies real quick, because I've watched it. The Battery.
Yes. Okay. You watched it. We got to
watch it. Okay. We get our.
So.
God damn it! We're talking about the Battery for the fourth week.
That's fine, because here we go.
Yes.
What makes slow zombies more terrifying for me is that fast zombies are a clear threat. You can prepare to fight. You know that you have to fight. And it's just something that you're always on guard. Slow zombies, you lose it. You get lost. That movie shows it a lot.
Yeah.
You getting lost because they're slow. You're not in any immediate threat. And then they're there.
That movie's so good.
Why are you flipping me off? This is great.
Because Jorge,
Jorge
wants to talk about The Battery so bad.
Because it's amazing.
And I would love to talk about The Battery, but...
That was a high five, by the way.
The most realistic, slowest moving zombie movie of all time.
And it's amazing.
It's good.
You heard it here, folks.
They're just going to have to become subscribers to our channel now because they're going to have to see what we say about them every week.
Every episode drop.
Come on, Jeremy, hook it up.
The Battery remake coming 2014. Oh,
no. Remade by Rob Zombie.
Rob Zombie with his heroin woman.
Oh, Jesus.
Real slow.
Christ. And they'll be playing more human than
any
human.
Oh, God, can you imagine her as Annie?
Oh, God.
Holy shit. Okay, so...
I can't risk you.
She won't have to act too much.
And that was the fourth twist.
Oh.
I can't risk...
So good.
Wait, so just because we're already fucking talking about The Battery, and I wasn't gonna make fun of
we need to do at least a 10-minute plug on every issue.
No, I wasn't gonna make fun of Jorge because I didn't want to make fun of you because I didn't want to bring up The Battery, but Jorge loves this movie so much. He went out and bought the Rock Plaza Central vinyl for Are We Not Horses, just so you can hear that main song on vinyl.
What can I say, dude? It's a
You're a fucking geek.
I loved it.
It's true. It's true. Admitted.
Back to remakes. Let's revisit the topic.
We've sort of gone off the rails, but hey, you know what?
That's what happens when we have a group of people and we're drunk.
It's okay. It wasn't a bad derail.
No, it was a.
Well, let's backtrack a little into one topic we're talking about is horror movies with actual plot development and stories.
Okay.
Martyrs.
So this also segues into upcoming remakes.
Yeah. I
you could have let it just segue.
So we were looking at an upcoming remake list, if you will, and we stumbled upon...
There's been a few on here that have really been infuriating.
But I think the most egregious showing... has been
Poltergeist.
has been the remake of Martyrs.
Oh, Leprechaun! Right. I didn't see that one.
Oh shit!
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
No. Oh yeah. Just kidding.
They're gonna have a 50-year-old Jennifer Aniston in that one. She's gonna be the grandmother. Oh wait, she doesn't have kids, does she?
Oh, Brad Pitt didn't. Yeah.
He John Mayer for life.
Jesus Christ.
So yeah, Martyrs, and if you guys haven't seen Martyrs, go fucking see Martyrs. Just turn
Stop
off this
doing
podcast
and
go watch
doing.
Martyrs.
Well,
we did mention Martyrs last week.
We did. And
we clearly have our favorites.
So there's a literal website called upcominghorrormovies.com, which kind of gives you a
free promotion.
We use them. I mean, you know, hey, it gives you release dates, development status, language,
and gives you a list of shit to be really mad at.
Right, and so. The Martyrs remake is going to be directed by Daniel Stamm, which nobody here has heard of this person. Oh.
To the internet.
Ah, well. Anywho, let's just
It's an American twist, and this is an American release of a foreign film.
Again.
French film, right?
Again.
And
let's take a look at this bullet-pointed list here that we have.
Before we get to that, we should say that French films and foreign films in general tend to be a lot more free about being fucked up.
French horror recently,
will show extreme gore, extreme violence, but they'll do it in a very useful sense.
Absolutely.
There's no sense to it.
No one does it better than the Japanese.
Well, yeah, exactly.
The French have been kicking ass.
But still,
yeah, I'm not talking about lately. I'm talking about sense.
For some reason,
the most fucked up.
They think Americans can't handle it. And they tone everything down and just give us this washed out shit.
Okay.
If we didn't have anything to be. Oh, there you go.
Oh, they're making The Darkness? That's cool.
Say,
I'm into that.
Daniel Stamm, the director.
We broke it to you first. The Darkness is being made.
We didn't break it to anybody first.
I'm going to go ahead and say that it's even more depressing now that I know that it's the dude who did Last Exorcism.
Oh,
yeah.
That's that Eli Roth flick, right?
No, it's a Daniel Stamm or whatever.
Oh, well, no, Eli
maybe
Roth.
Produced.
Eli Roth. Oh, maybe he produced it. Okay, because I know he's been doing the second one all crazy.
Well, let's. I think we're sort of.
But yeah, so the remakes. Just some of the remakes don't need to be remade. Martyrs was a film that they're never going to be able to recaptured just the sheer shock and awe of the original and release it at an acceptable level for an American audience.
Well, consider this. This is a direct quote from Daniel Stamm. And it's a perfect example of why American films don't have that punch that everything else has, is specifically because of this. He says, Martyrs is very nihilistic. The American approach that I'm looking at would go through all the darkness, but the darkness, but then give a glimmer of hope. You don't have to shoot yourself when it's over.
Well, and then spoiler there, but she fucking shot herself.
Oh, whoa.
Well, no, I wasn't going to say that.
You could have.
Yeah, I was going to skip that part. But
you can edit that out, right?
Jesus. Okay.
Jesus,
so,
you're a monster. You're a literal monster.
Okay. Well, okay. Stop. Edited.
No, you were making a point. You were making a point. I'm sorry. I didn't want to stop you from making your brilliant point about the end of that movie.
Oh, I was talking. I don't even remember.
So, anyway. That glimmer of hope is unnecessary. That's the point of these movies. We're not watching Disney movies. We're not here to feel good.
Right.
That glimmer of hope is what kills
a rated R movie.
There you go.
And then what were we... If you go back to the page, it says, like, that it's produced by the people who did the Twilight films, and they're interested in having Kristen Stewart act in it.
I
use the term act lightly.
Terrible idea.
Maybe she'll whisper a lot.
Oh, Jesus Christ. And looking to the camera longingly.
Is that what that is? Longingly?
I don't know. I don't know what other emotion she has.
Blank?
A blank stare.
Yeah.
Oh,
but there's a lot of other horror movies.
It was scripted by the Vacancy guy.
Vacancy was, who was it? Cusack?
They can,
no, that
no,
was Identity.
Yeah, that was
Identity.
I liked Identity. That was cool.
What was Vacancy? Was that Kate Beckinsale?
Vacancy was, who was in Vacancy? Yeah.
Well,
it was horrible.
Like, yeah, Kate Beckinsale.
It was Kate Beckinsale. Where the fuck did I pull that from?
So, that's cool. So Martyrs is going
to
be a flop.
Luke Wilson. Always a joy to see Luke Wilson in any fucking film. My God.
So, but why do they do these horror? What do you think brings them to do these horror movies most of the time? I mean, one of the ones that I'm really upset about is Poltergeist. And I mean, that's the only movie that's ever really genuinely scared the crap out of me. It's not the same context, though. The Exorcist, when that came out, people were very religious. I mean, people were religious these days, but it was a lot different back then.
More so than any time in our country.
But we've seen all this stuff for years and years and years. So when The Exorcist came out, it was incredibly powerful. I saw it when I was 18 for the first time. And
what was the difference?
Because grammar. Look at it.
I'm a grammarian.
But it wasn't that scary to me because I'd seen so much other stuff.
By that point.
And so I think with Poltergeist, it being, you don't have your iPad, your phone, your all that other shit. It's just the TV, which is the one thing, and it's a family in the house, and that's just really fucked up and freaky. I don't think it would have the same punch as it would these like today.
Here's kind of at its base how I feel about these upcoming remakes. I think that when there's enough time from when a movie's released to when we're talking about a remake, I think that, to be perfectly honest, these movies that we're talking about, you know, we're talking about Poltergeist and we're talking about, you know, any mid-70s to early 80s films, they don't always age very well. Mm-hmm. And I think
I can agree
they need
that.
A revisioning.
No.
Personally, I think that for us, you know, we have these movies in our hearts that we're like, well, don't fucking remake these movies because I really feel personally about. But I think that for a younger audience, those movies aren't always going to get their attention.
It's not as exciting.
I think Poltergeist is not. It's kind of. It has a lot of subtleties in it. You know, you have a lot of things.
It's a slow burn.
That aren't necessarily like, oh my God, we're fucking possessed and there's fucking ghosts and holy shit, we're dying. I think it's one of those things that they're going to remake it and it's going to be from the very beginning, there's going to be fucking chairs thrown across the room. And for our kids, unfortunately, their attention spans are going to be about this big.
So do you think
it's... I did about a centimeter.
Is the problem because we grew up with these movies, so we don't want to see them touch?
Yeah.
Okay,
I think that's what it
that's
is.
That's a really good point.
That's
what
it is.
For example, and I'll definitely admit, you know, going back to Martyrs, for example, it's not really that underground or rare of a film, but when I talk to the majority of people, most people haven't seen it.
Right.
And it's really, really cool to have something that extreme to show people or to tell. It's cool. I'll be the first to admit that I'm like, well, fuck yeah. Watch Martyrs. I'm stoked that I'm the person to be able to tell you about it.
And I think that's a terrible usage of a remake. I don't think, you know, we're still emotionally involved with that movie because it's brand new. If Martyrs had come out 30 years ago and we were like, okay, I could see somebody redoing it. Like, it's about time somebody...
Like Cannibal Holocaust? Eli Roth is redoing Cannibal Holocaust. Wait, are you making that noise because you didn't like the original or because you're pissed off that it's... Oh, okay. See, yeah, he's got a Cannibal Holocaust tattoo. So, but the funny thing is, I read a thing online that said Eli Roth actually took the original film down to a tribe in the Amazon, and he brought a generator, and these people had never seen TV, never seen any of this shit. So he takes a generator and a DVD player down to a tribe in the Amazon and plays the original Cannibal Holocaust, and they said it was the funniest thing they'd ever seen. And that movie was fucked up. I mean, the director almost got arrested for murder because they thought it was so real. He had to bring the actors into the court to show they were still alive.
And see, that's the thing.
Only the turtle died in that movie, and that was the most fucked up part of the movie.
I think what happens is that as we get further and further away from movies that we saw as kids and scared the shit out of us, we kind of see remakes as a slap in the face, to an extent. I don't want to say that all remakes are fucking shitty, which obviously we've talked about remakes that are also good. For me, a great example is It.
Oh.
When we watch It
I didn't
now,
like the first one.
When we watch It now, it looks corny as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you're talking about, like, you know, just...
Big-headed like, ass Party City clown mask.
Yeah. And the biggest redeeming thing
and
of
knowing
that movie...
And knowing that the band name Pennywise came from this movie makes me hate this movie even more. Because I hate Pennywise.
Well, and look, Tim Curry scared the shit out of me in that movie.
He's a great actor.
It was fucking brilliant, but... I'm willing to say, all right, let's check it out. Let's see what the fuck is the director of this piece of shit. Kerry Fukunaga.
Hey,
oh, yeah.
Maybe it'll be good if she's Asian, if she's Japanese.
Oh, my God, you.
Hey, we were just talking about how Japanese do crazy, like, you know, horror
let's
better
see
than
what
anybody.
Kerry Fukunaga has done.
It's a guy.
It's a guy.
Oh, sin nombre.
Yeah,
oh, of course.
Good.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, you overpronounce the shit out of that, but that's cool.
Yeah. Oh, what? Because he's white? You racist? Well, you are white, right?
Yeah, I kind of.
Okay.
I make fun of you for being an overpronouncer, but I'm like number one fucking offender.
So I'm really hoping It winds up being good.
Well, like we said before.
Japanese and Swedish.
It can't
How
fuck
can
that
this
up.
Movie be bad?
I agree.
So, like we said before, a lot of the problems here, they're not that these movies shouldn't be remade, because like you said, I mean, Poltergeist could be fucking awesome now. It can. If someone took the time to
If it
to
came
put
through a
high-def
TV, like, you know, that,
no,
that's just
I mean,
kind of...
They're going to do, like, no, you know they're going to do, like, a fucking Xbox
One. Oh, I hope they don't do an iPhone
where it's gonna
or
be
something.
Like,
the Kinect sees you
yeah,
steals Kinect your soul.
Gonna,
but the thing
well,
is,
dude, like
that's what I was going to say, is that they don't... Just because they're remaking it doesn't mean they have to modernize it.
That's
they make
very
movies
true.
That are in the 70s.
House of the Devil.
They make... So... It could be the same thing, just with this great technology that we have, these new stylings of camera work that you have, but nobody
right,
does
we're,
it.
We're filming feature-length films with like a DSLR, a handheld fucking camera, and
right.
coming out with brilliant films.
Like, these people are just grabbing... It's the first one to have the balls to remake it, is grabbing it. And usually, like we said earlier, they're just running through it. They're just like, let's pump it out. These kids don't know what It is. These kids don't know what Poltergeist is. Just fucking pump it out.
Man, Stephen King is getting some fucking love on this remake bullshit. Because look, Carrie is coming out in October. And
Stephen King's a fantastic writer.
He is.
You
I feel like Carrie could be a really good remake.
I do too. I agree.
Dude, it could be really good.
It's got
a simple enough storyline.
Yeah, you know,
and that's something where it doesn't...
So
no, that's the beauty. That's the beauty part is that it's set in high school, so it's a problem that doesn't ever change. Everyone is ostracized, no matter how like 500 years ago there were people ostracized.
Unless you were the captain of the football team.
Exactly,
could,
but
good, actually,
then you got your comeuppance at the prom.
Well, see, here's the thing. I honestly didn't think that the original Carrie was a good. Well, when I say original, I mean the Sissy Spacek.
Really? I thought that was pretty good. They're all going to laugh at you. They're all going to laugh at you.
I don't know, man.
In high school, I was terrified of being teased.
Like,
fuck
all
that.
I would like to see this movie redone well. Because
I think it could be done well.
And what I've seen so far doesn't look so hot.
Here's what I'm thinking. Because here's what happens with all these goddamn remakes. The movie goes on with these, you know, mediocre acting. It's all right. We've all seen great horror films with mediocre acting. And then when the shit hits the fan, the last 15 minutes of the movie are these CGI fires tearing through buildings, everyone running, everyone dying.
CGI tie-up.
They should just set the whole building on fire and make the people run for their lives.
And that's
you capture
all
the
is.
Genuine fear. Like, oh, Psycho. Oh. You know how they got Janet Leigh to scream like that?
Suddenly, nobody wants to be an actor anymore.
Yeah.
They actually, they turned the shower on ice cold right when they shot the scene. And that's why she screamed like that. It was because that water was fucking freezing.
Did you see Hitchcock?
No, but I want to see Scarlett Johansson's boobies, right?
So good.
Yeah, boobies.
Yay, boobies.
Yay, boobies.
They were nice.
I watched so,
that movie with you.
Yeah,
oh,
so...
I'm saying Johansson's body.
Yeah, I've got pictures of it on my blog. It's cool.
I'm so, a blog. I love blogging.
I'm a blog.
I love blogging. I'm a blog. I just...
So, I mean...
Here's the thing, man. We've got a list of upcoming remakes. It's really...
Yeah, it's extensive. And it seems like almost every
the
movie...
Fly.
It seems like...
How are they remaking The Host?
The Monster Squad. So, let's just
I can't. Can
the
we
orphanage?
Do we
have to?
They're redoing the orphanage.
No.
Yes.
Why?
And that's a movie that was done like what?
2 years ago.
Five, 6 years
ago.
Oh
yeah, longer now. Four or 5 years
I just,
ago.
But released in America.
Yeah.
Oh they my released? God. So I mean, let's just go through a few of these. I mean, there's. The Toxic Avenger, them,
wait,
they live.
Yeah, they're redoing.
They're
Toxic
redoing
Avenger.
Troll Hunter already.
Terrible idea. Terrible
Another
idea.
Van Helsing.
Versus.
They're doing Versus.
Videodrome could do. Could
wait,
not.
Wait, wait. Hey. Zero Dark.
Wait, that's not a horror movie. Yeah. What the fuck?
Well, that was horribly
that
bad.
That was. That was a pretty.
No, Zero Dark Thirty wasn't a bad movie.
Ooh.
Did you actually watch it when you're making that idea?
Oh, The Crow. We missed The Crow.
The Crow?
The Creature from the Black Lagoon. That could be.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's been a long time. That
it's
one
still,
they could redo.
It still kind of stands up, though.
There was going to be a.
Miss their mark on The Crow. This whole vampire thing is going
to
die out.
Right.
First.
There was going to be a Hellraiser remake, too, and that never came to light.
I'm hoping half of these projects just.
Yeah, The Blob.
Oh, The Birds.
Suspiria, which.
Dude,
Rosemary's
don't do
Baby.
Suspiria.
Come on. I mean, there's so Pet Cemetery. There's Near Dark. There's a shitload that they're redoing. So, I mean, in the end, Hollywood's always going to just keep spitting out the same shit. And
so much CGI for The Birds.
So much CGI. If you're going to do a movie, do it the way the original directors did. At least make the movie. Don't make it on a computer. Make it in real life. Make it scary.
Spend the time.
Spend the time. Don't
put
spend
in
the
hours.
Money.
That's going to be the manifesto of this podcast.
Spend the, time,
the time,
don't spend the money.
I don't know about don't spend
no,
the money.
Spend
I think if you can spend
money.
The money,
no,
but
spend half of your bank
do
account,
it right.
Mr. Director, man.
Yes.
I just put in the work,
yes,
man.
Just
put in the work.
Jewish
yeah.
guy in Hollywood.
Don't ever remake Big Trouble
All these
in
people
China,
that made
ever.
These amazing movies didn't change the genre
no.
by half-assing what
He's
they're doing.
He's not going to sell the rights to that. He doesn't need to. So
wait, to what?
Don't ever remake Big Trouble in China. Ever.
They will.
Maybe. They better not.
I kind of hope they do, actually.
Can you imagine?
Why?
Can you imagine? They like they've
gonna, always
you know
wanted
what?
To do a sequel,
they're
but
fucking cast,
or no,
like
they never
Reynolds
wanted to do a
sequel.
Oh yeah. No, you know what? They're recasting all these wash-up actors. I hope they try to get just Van Damme or something.
No.
Ridiculous.
No. Oh my God.
It's just gonna be Dolph Lundgren.
Dude.
Just rehash Kurt Russell.
Did you
just,
know that guy was a
you know
PhD?
Because by the way, this is gonna be hold on. I need to do my fuck you Quentin Tarantino moment because I really looked forward to Grindhouse and Death Proof, and I love Kurt Russell, and I really was looking forward to seeing him be more of a badass again in Death Proof.
Wasn't that Rodriguez?
Yeah.
No, Rodriguez did Planet Terror.
Oh, Terror, Planet Terror.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm
and
wrong.
And Quentin Tarantino did Death Proof. And it looked like it was going to be Kurt Russell's return to being a complete badass and not doing family movies. And then he just turned out to be a little weenus and got his ass kicked by a bunch of girls.
He was a badass for like a third of that movie.
He was
like
a poser badass. I thought it was going to be like, hey, Kurt Russell's the fucking man. Like, respect Kurt Russell. He did High School High, yeah, or not High School High, Sky High.
High School?
High School High was a great movie.
That was a fuck up if I've ever heard
oh
one.
Oh my God, what a brilliant, what a
watch High School High.
Cinematic event that game, that movie was.
That
Jesus
movie was
Christ.
Hilarious.
That was, is that the movie with Corey Feldman?
No, that's the movie with John Lovitz.
What am I thinking of? What's
Who
Corey,
fucking knows?
With Corey Feldman and like Chubby Checkers was in the end of it.
Dude,
what?
That must have been some LSD trip
yeah,
or something.
What are you talking about?
Hold on a sec. Let me do a quick Googling.
You gotta bring up the Google on the show. And then you
everything.
Laugh so hard you can't even type.
Something's everything is alien now. After that Canadian
official had that press conference about the aliens. Have you seen that?
No.
A Canadian government official. I think it was... Anyway, some Canadian government official. Oh, yeah. Gave like a 30-minute speech during a press hearing about how aliens are real and how...
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely, he did.
Like that dude from the History Channel. Aliens.
Aliens.
That guy's the worst.
I want Jesus. That haircut.
Oh.
But yeah.
So, yeah, we've hit a wall, and Jorge's looking up Chubby Checker's IMDb.
Yeah, this dude had a giant speech about the types of aliens they know about.
Sorry.
Seriously looking up Chubby Checker's on IMDb.
Because I can't. It wasn't
Purple Yeah, he was an actor in Purple People Eater. That's the movie with Corey Feldman.
It was a high school movie with
have been dreaming.
Yeah.
Wishful thinking.
On drugs.
You know, it's really strange that you say that, because I... Because
you're on drugs?
I had, as a kid, I had a memory of a movie, and I would tell people about this movie, and they were like, dude, what the fuck are you talking about? And I'm gonna ask you guys if you remember this movie. So it's a little kid, and he dreams about these fucking, like, globular monsters. And
is it the boy in his blob DS
game? No, at some point, one of those monsters loses, like, its laser gun, and he uses pennies to fire it. Have you guys seen this fucking movie?
Dude, what drugs are you on?
You made that movie up.
I totally did.
Yeah, you did.
Jorge is pitching his screenplay right now.
It's fucking brilliant.
Let
me pause this, because I have to find this fucking movie.
If you're gonna pause it, but like,
while you're looking for this, just put on. I'll put on the YouTube thing of the Prime Minister guy.
Let's check it out. Yeah, we're gonna watch a couple videos, Google something. We'll be right back.
This is edited.
Broken us. So in our quick Googling, I found the movie that I was talking about, and these guys all thought I was a fucking nut job, but it was actually.
Invaders from Mars.
Invaders from fucking Mars.
It was a remake of a 1953.
And it happened to be a remake of a 1953 movie.
Which is really fitting, but...
See, we make this seem accidental, but we actually script all of this.
No.
So we'll probably do Invaders from Mars in a future episode. It'll be brilliant.
Yeah.
You'll enjoy the shit out of it.
That looked hilarious enough.
The shit out of right now is some beer that Danny brought.
Yeah, it's
not
collaboration.
Just Danny. I don't want to just say it was just Danny.
Danny and Haley.
Yeah,
Danny and Haley.
Because, you know.
Correct.
And the dog.
Cassie picked it out, the dog.
The dog.
Casadega.
What are we drinking?
It's a collaboration with New Belgium and Dieu du Ciel, which is Belgian brewery, I'm pretty sure. It's part of the Lips of Faith series.
Nice.
And it's brewed with hibiscus.
Yeah, it tastes like hibiscus.
Oh my god, it's not only a reaction for drinking one of Dieu du Ciel's beers, but a figurative translation of the Montreal brewery. Oh, Canadian.
Canadian.
I fucked that up.
Damn it.
How do we feel about remakes then?
How do we feel about remakes? I think that in general, remakes are, we're really about 50-50 on them, I think.
They definitely have their place sometimes. They're shitty movies. If more shitty movies got remade, if they took Mac and Me... And have you guys ever seen Mac
that
and Me?
That Coke commercial?
No, the 90-minute yes. McDonald's yeah. commercial.
Oh, the McDonald's commercial.
That's why he was named Mac.
That's why. I'm sorry. I said
watch
McDonald's.
Watch Mac and Me.
If
you watch that 90-minute McDonald's commercial, if somebody took a shitty movie like that, could be a whole other episode
Mac
with
makes
aliens.
Fucking windmills out of straws in that movie, right?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So if somebody
Jesus
took a
Christ.
Shitty movie like that and remade that movie... That could be fantastic. Like, if they made that really good, because that's... Nobody wants to remake a horrible movie.
So they have potential.
Yes, there's potential, because you can't go downhill from shit. So,
okay.
Well, I mean, for me...
But, so, no, what I'm saying is...
How much worse
so
would a 90-minute...
You could take a shitty movie...
Nowadays.
You could take a shitty movie and make it good, but when you take a movie that was good, there's a lot of high expectations, and there's a lot of hope for that remake. And a lot of the times they fall short from the original, and a lot of people don't like them. And they churn them out so frequently that you kind of have a sour taste in
your mouth. Especially now. And I think at the end of the day, when we're talking about remakes and remakes of movies that we sort of hold dear to ourselves, I think it's a far cry between movies that are to us, sort of, you know, movies that we personally hold close, and movies that were just made like 5 minutes ago and you're already remaking that film. Yeah. I think that's the issue. I think when you're remaking movies that haven't been given a fair shot in modern times, like if you're talking Martyrs and you're talking Let the Right One In, shit like that, I think we've got an issue.
And
but,
Wreck and Quarantine, you don't even give it enough time to become a cult classic.
It hasn't. The motherfucker hasn't even been fully baked yet, and they're already
the
remaking
Strangers.
It. That's
Strangers.
The problem. That's the problem.
The host
I don't.
Isn't that old either.
The host, they're barely making the sequel.
Yeah.
Can't even imagine how much.
It's retarded.
They're gonna ruin that movie.
You said retarded.
God damn it.
The podcast is not the PC.
Yeah, it is not.
It's NSFW.
And I think that there's films that we sort of hold dear as far as early 80s, you know, mid 70s, fuck, into the 60s, that I think could do with a little bit of polishing up. And, you know, let's see, because there has been some films that have proven out to have been better.
Never remake Zombie. Thank you.
Well, no, okay, because
see, that's the thing.
Dawn of the Dead. I love the original.
I like the remake.
The remake. Well, besides that baby scene,
I was entertained.
But it was terrifying in a different way. The original was great.
This is the longest fucking outro in the history of podcasts.
Yeah.
Outro.
And actually, since we're outroing, I want to just kind of tell you guys about this awesome movie I heard about over the weekend. I met a guy that actually works on films
the
in
battery.
San Francisco.
Yep.
No.
Was
no,
it a humdinger?
No.
It was a fucking humdinger. Everybody
you guys
get
you,
ready for
oh,
this humdinger.
Yeah, you guys cheers. You guys will agree this is a humdinger. So, this guy I met on the bus, cool dude,
nice
works
there.
On movies in LA, and he just finished working on a movie that's going to be released on Sci-Fi. It's a creature feature. It's Cowboys versus Dinosaurs. Ugh. And no, dude, it sounds so fucking cool.
I'm into it.
Like, it's
I
set.
Got a plot,
it's,
guys.
It's,
I got a plot.
Okay, set in pre- it's set in present day Montana. So it's not even old cowboys, but it's present day Montana. So they all
like,
have iPads and
so
shit.
So like
I'm sure.
Tremors.
And
in other words,
Tremors
wait,
was
wasn't
legit.
Cowboys vs Aliens.
Yeah,
a
but,
fucking
but,
terrible movie.
Yeah,
but fuck aliens. These are dinosaurs.
But this has nothing to do with that.
No.
Okay.
But. So they were, it's like a bunch of, what was it, miners or something, and they,
yeah,
either
a
way.
Cave underground where dinosaurs
did this guy,
survive.
Did this guy buy you a beer?
Dinosaurs are
no,
alive.
No.
Did you buy him a beer?
No, dude, okay.
What
but,
is the, what's going on here? Why
hey,
are you all in on this
I
can, shit?
I could sum this entire movie up in two words.
Dinosaurs.
I could sum this movie up in two words. Exploding dinosaurs. Because there's some shit to do with methane gas underground from whence
way.
They were sprung forth and
I can't wait.
Dude,
they've been living underground for so long.
The way this guy talked about it, holy fuck, I can't wait because it's going to be awfully amazing.
The original slime.
Yes.
I want
Yes.
So we can bring back exploding dinosaurs. I'm in.
Maybe we can incorporate exploding dinosaurs and slime.
I can't imagine what they're going to use for large, giant intestines and kidneys.
Those cowboys are going to get a real T-bone out of that.
It's going to be. It's going to be terrible, guys. Come on.
It's going to be a straight to sci-fi movie. Probably.
Yeah, it's going
most
to
likely,
the Sci-Fi Network, so it's going to be awful, but it's going to be awfully amazing.
And with that,
we're done.
We're going to close out the episode. Thanks for listening.
You know...
Thanks for having me again, guys.
Absolutely, Danny.
I feel really good. I feel like I could like see things no one else can see and like do things no one else can do.
I dosed you.
Okay. You do? Oh, that's... I knew I liked you.
Oh my gosh. Well, anyways, we'll see you guys in episode 5. Thanks for listening.
Woo!